Hey, we're going to Psalm 128. Psalm 128 today as we continue in our series, Summer in the Psalms. And we've been looking at some great ones as we have walked through this together. And as always, we'll have it on the screen for you, but you can turn to it and open it in your app as well if you want to take notes there on your own and follow along. But Psalm 128, and title of the message today is Just One Word, Blessed. Last week was praise. This week, just one word, the word blessed is what we're looking at. And I'm going to read the whole psalm to you because it's only 164 verses. Come on. No, it's only like six verses, so don't get too nervous. Yeah, so, but I am going to read the whole psalm, starting at verse number one. It says this, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord." Now, I'm going to keep reading, but remember that when the Bible in context like this refers to men in this time when it's written, it doesn't just mean men. He's talking to everybody. You're with me, right? So my sisters, don't tune me out when he says that. It's just as much a word to you as it is to the brothers in the room. You could just as easily translate that. This will be the blessing for the person who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Psalm 128. Hey, let's pray together. Father, thanks for your word as always. Lord, as we consider this psalm of pronounced blessing, I pray that once more your word will equip us. We will be provided with the tools that we need that are necessary to be able to live for you, Lord God. Put weapons in our spiritual arsenals, Lord God. Provide us with all that we need, we ask. And may we grow through time spent here in your word. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, here we are. Speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know what you listened to on the way to church this morning, and I won't take any polls. I'm sure we like a very different variety of styles of music and things like that, but it's Sunday morning, and perhaps you had on your praise and worship music. I know that because you're at church, you would tell me that that's all you ever listen to, but maybe that's not totally true. So, but we're not going to raise hands in here, but it's Sunday morning, and we put it on, and maybe you've got small kids, and if you've got small kids, you might have needed that worship music on the way to church this morning after getting them ready to get them out the door, or maybe you had a rough week. Anybody ever have a rough week? Yeah, so not just me and George, a few others raised their hands with us as well, brother. And sometimes that happens, and you put it on, and when we looked at praise last Sunday, and no, it helps us to get our hearts and our minds focused, and as we come along, and we put on to get into the presence of God. Well, when Psalm 128 was written, it was written by people and for people who were just like us. They had kids. They had rough weeks too. And the context of the psalm is unique because Psalm 128 is what is called a psalm of ascents. Did you hear me there? Psalm of ascents. Make sure your neighbor caught that because I assure you this will be on the quiz. Psalm of ascents. So what does that mean, a psalm of ascents? Jerusalem was elevated. It is a city up on a hill. And had you lived at this time that this psalm was written and been part of the Hebrew people, you would have been required to go to Jerusalem three times a year. So you still worshiped throughout the year in the local synagogue or wherever, but three times a year you had to actually take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And when you were going up to Jerusalem, a psalm of ascents is one of the psalms you would be singing on your way in. Are you with me? So they didn't have they weren't able to turn their radio on. They weren't able to turn on their music. They didn't have Spotify or Pandora or anything like that, whatever else. So they had to use CDs, all right? Because this was a long time ago. Are you with me? So they had to use CDs and cassettes. Some of them were even still using 8-track tape players back then. I don't know. So they had to put the music on in order to go up. And when they were going up to Jerusalem, A psalm of ascents is what you would sing or declare on your way in. And this is a psalm that is one of those. It is a unique psalm because most of the psalms are praise to God. Some of the psalms are prophetic and foretell of Jesus, our Messiah, coming to earth. And we're able to see what he would come to do. And they demonstrate for us that Jesus is who he said he was. But Psalm 128 is a psalm that declares blessing is what it does. In fact, it is a picture of blessing upon blessing. It is a picture of the man or the woman whose life is poured out on by God. How many of you would say, I want God to pour out on my life? Amen? Come on, blessing upon blessing is what it says there. Is the picture that is there. So as God's children approach Jerusalem, they would begin singing this psalm, declaring that those who follow God are blessed by God. They're not even there yet. They're not even at the temple yet. And they're already singing that those who follow God are blessed by God. They believe it. They know it to be true. It's still true. Good news. First thing I want you to catch today is the truths of this psalm are a psalm for everyone. This is a promise for everyone. Now, I think when I say everyone, when I say all, I think we know what that means, but just to be safe in case we don't, I probably could use maybe like 3 volunteers to help me really quick. So, Juliana, I might as well pick on you since you're down front. Go ahead and come up here. Joshua, you didn't play the drums today, so you'll be great for this. Come on up here as well. Caleb, you always work as a great help for me. Come on up here as well. Give them all a round of applause. Do me a favor and stand on this side of me right over here. Keep clapping because Caleb's slow and he needs you to clap for a long time until he gets here. And now come right in here so the folks at home can see you as well and gather in there. Now, how many people are on the stage with me? 3. It's not a tough question. 3. So if I said that something was going to happen to all of them, how many people would it happen to? Don't say all. Give me a number. I heard the number. 3. 3 out of... No, I don't count. Don't. You guys, like, you're confusing me. Disregard me. Just these 3, all right? And no plays on it, because I know some of you are saying 4 because you're like, I see 3 and the 4th is like the Son of Man and you're going to do some fiery furnace thing on me to throw me for a loop or whatever else, and like you're seeing in the spiritual realm. There's just 3 of them up here with me, all right? The Holy Ghost doesn't count. So we got 3 up here. If something happens to all of them, how many will it happen to? Yeah, 3. So I have something with me here, and this is called the Sizzling Cool Goblin. And you have to pump it up. So first things first, let's just make sure it works good. Oh, yeah, it works great. Yeah, so if I was to... Oh, yeah, it works good. Let me check it over here. Oh, no. Watch. Yes. So if I was to wave this back and forth and spray it, how many of them will get wet? Give me a number. 3, right? 3 will. Right. So what if I put one more person there? What, Nuria? No. I could spray you anyway from right here. Brother Saul, come up here really quick. Come on up here. You're a good sport. Come up here. So if I put a 4th one up here, I just want to make sure we understand what everyone or all means. Are you with me? Are you with me? So let me make sure it still works. Oh, yeah, yes, works good. So if I was to pull the trigger and spray back and forth, how many of them will get wet? 4, right? What if I use this one instead? What if I use this one? How many of them will get wet? I'm not really going to spray you. You guys were awesome. They all volunteered. Yes, go back to your seats. You did great. I'm not really going to spray you. I wouldn't do that except Joshua. I got him. Yes, he's the only one. So it all means no one gets left out. No one gets left out. It is a psalm for everyone. Come on, somebody say, that's me. That's me. No one is exempt from this. It's talking about blessed is everyone, all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. Everyone has opportunity to be included in this. And I love that word all because it puts me in the psalm. It puts you in the psalm. It puts us in there as well. God's word is powerful. Amen? Come on, God's word is powerful. God's word is effective. God's word always accomplishes what it is sent forth to do. God's promises are yes, and in him, amen. Amen. And God's word is to all who believe. Now, I want to share a passage with you from 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter talks about the power of the gospel, the power of God's word going forth in our lives. So I want you to catch, this is for everyone, and God's word is powerful, and the truths of God's word are available for all of us. So Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to pause right there. I make up a lot of silly stories with my family. I did it with my kids when they were growing up. I do it now with my grandkids. I just tell them funny, silly, nonsense things. Yesterday, we were in Pennsylvania. One of my sons lives in Pennsylvania. His baby daughter turned 2. We were there for the birthday, and Nathaniel and Nicole were there, and their 2 kids, Josiah and Bella. Josiah's 5, Bella is 3. This won't be on the quiz. Just stay with the story. So Josiah's 5. So we're there. A couple of my younger son's his daughter's cousins from that side of the family, his wife's side of the family. Am I making sense? My son has a wife, her family, her nephews and nieces, so my granddaughter's cousins. A couple of them are there. They're a little older. They're like 7 and 6 or something or another. And it was raining outside. It really rained yesterday. It was raining. So I turned to one of the kids and I asked for a bar of soap. I said, we were leaving to go out, and I said, "Hey, do you have a bar of soap I could use? I want to take a shower really quick in the front yard before we go to where we're going." And when I said that, my 5-year-old son, who calls me Pop, all right, he calls me Pop. My 5-year-old grandson, who calls me Pop, he turns to these 2 kids and said, "Don't listen to Pop. He's crazy." Don't listen to Pop. He's crazy. Yeah, So sometimes I will tell cunningly devised fables or silly. Peter's saying that's not what the gospel is. The gospel's not a made-up story. Listen to what he keeps saying as he walks through this in this. He says, "We saw." Come on, somebody say, "He saw it." Peter says, "We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, 'This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy.'" Peter says this, "We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." What is Peter saying? Peter's saying, we didn't make this stuff up. This isn't some story somebody told us. We saw it with our own eyes. We heard it with our own ears, he says. He keeps going in verse 19. "Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts." Verse 20. "Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God." That's a good place for an amen. Amen? Amen. God's word is powerful, and we are all included in it, is what I want you to catch in this psalm here. The truth of it is so important. Because see, the thing is, sometimes in life we get left out. Sometimes you get passed over. That happens sometimes in our own life. I was at a big conference, and they said everybody who comes to the conference gets a free T-shirt. And when I came in, I went over to the free T-shirt table, and they said, "All we have left is small." I was like, man, I didn't wear small since I was in 2nd grade, I don't think. Like it was small. Yeah. So I missed out. I got left out somehow in that experience. And you've been left out before and missed out on things. 2 Sundays ago, we had our all-church cookout. And man, there was so much food. There was so much food at the cookout. Everyone did amazing. And bringing food to share. There was burgers and hot dogs and chicken and sausage and potato salad and some more potato salad and and little Brazilian appetizer things that were really good and potato salad and watermelon and potato salad. And we had a lot of food. And there was other things, of course, as well. And it's a cookout, so that's what you have. And I usually go through the line last. I like to go through at the end. So I got to watch a lot of you going through the line before I went through the line. And some of you, I could tell you thought this was the last time you were ever going to get to eat. You get where I'm going. It was like mountains on plates, man. But it was okay because there was so much food. And then when I finally went through, my plate looked like a mountain also of food when I came out of there and so much. And the only way to not get blessed at the cookout and not end up with as much food as you wanted was to not go through the line. As long as you went through the line, you were going to get a plate full of food. You would not go through the line and not get it. Everyone who goes through is going to get that. It was an automatic thing. Well, when we walk in the fear of the Lord and follow His word with our lives, it's like getting in line. The promise is for everyone. Somebody say, that's me. It's for everyone. We all walk in this. And you may have lived your life feeling like life has treated you unfairly. And the truth is, sometimes life does treat us unfairly. Hello. Sometimes life does pass us by. Sometimes folks really do get the raw end of the deal. That happens to all of us sometimes, but for some folks it happens worse than other folks, if we're honest, that things can go bad in life. That really happens. But no one is left out when we come to Psalm 128. These promises are, if we will fear the Lord, if we will walk in obedience to Him, that doesn't mean we need to be perfect to be blessed, but it means we need to be headed in the right direction. We do that, Psalm 128, we give specific promises of how God will bless us. He will bless us, and Psalm 128:2 said, you'll eat the fruit of your labor, blessings and prosperity will be yours. I want you to catch this. The psalmists were declaring, when they would come up, they would say, when we fear the Lord, when we follow God, we get blessed at work. That's what they're singing. We get blessed at work. Put that up. That's our first one there, our big thing off the promises for everyone. Blessed at work. The fruit of your labor is the results of your work. Those who walk in obedience to God and humble reverence to Him are blessed in this way. Now, it would be a great misunderstanding to limit that to just financial blessing. I'm not saying God won't bless you financially, because He will. God blesses us generously as we get their promises in God's word of if we sow generously, He blesses us generously. Those principles are very true. But it's not limited simply to a financial blessing. It's in every aspect of work that we will be blessed. Now, not everyone in here will know who Truett Cathy is when I say that name is, but you know his chicken. You can't get it today. You can't get it today. You know why you can't get it today? It's closed. Somebody said it. Yeah, because Truett Cathy was the founder of Chick-fil-A. He was who established the Chick-fil-A restaurant when he first opened it up. And I read his book, and fittingly, the title of Truett Cathy's book was Eat More Chicken. So when I read the book Eat More Chicken, Truett Cathy, who was a believer in Jesus Christ, testified of how he ran his business according to biblical and godly principles. And he believed that if he did that, God would bless him in his business. And he testified of how he went from his first restaurant to over 1,000 restaurants. He's not who runs it now, but in those early days as it grew and what God did, and God blessed him abundantly. And when he says he ran his business according to godly principles, the Bible is filled with guidance for business. The Bible is filled with principles for the workplace that we would apply in our lives of how we would work there. I mean, I could randomly pull examples for us to try to give us an idea, but like the Bible tells us that God hates dishonest scales. We say, what does that mean? What does that mean? If you stepped on the scale and it just knocked off 10 pounds, you'd love a dishonest scale. Hello, testify. You know it's true. But the Bible says that God hates dishonest scales. What does that mean? This was an agrarian society and culture. They're dealing in wheat and produce and things like that. And when they're trading it, when they're buying and selling it, they're weighing it. And we still do that with some things. When you go in the grocery store and you go to the deli and you want to get some turkey, how much do you get? Do you tell them how many slices or do you tell them how much weight? Talk to me. You say how much? You say, I want half a pound, whatever. Well, what if the scale was off? What if they tweaked the scale so that when it said 1 pound, you really get 15 ounces? Don't you think the store could make more money off of us then? God hates that. What if, you know, when I go to the gas station and the pump says I put 20 gallons in my car, I got nothing to go on but to just assume it's right, right? How could I know? How could I know if it's right? What if they tweaked the pump so they were giving me a little bit? I'm going to have all of you paranoid, scared to death when you leave here today. So they gave you a little. So a biblical principle is that the people of God don't do things like this. Because the golden rule is our daily rule. We do to others as we would have them to do to us is what we do. These are biblical principles in business, in our lives. And when we handle our careers that way, the workplace that way, the Bible tells us that we get blessed. That means sneaking to cut a corner to make an extra dollar at work. You might get a dollar in the moment, but God's not blessing that. Hello. God's not blessing that. I know a guy who worked for a big carpet cleaning company, like a national chain. He said, I would be out with the truck, and we would run out of cleaning product, and they would get another house that would want to be cleaned that day, and my boss would call and say, go do this house too. And I would say, I don't have any more shampoo. And they would say to me, they won't know. Just go do it with water. This is a true story. You know what he did? He quit. He quit. He said, because I can't be a part of this, because he wants to be blessed, right? He ended up starting his own company along the way. That's not how you get blessed by God in that situation. We have to handle things properly. When Joshua was elevated to a position of leadership following Moses, God gave him a great word of wisdom and direction for his leadership. It's Joshua 1:7. Look at it with me. It says this, be strong, Joshua 1:7. We have that verse? I think we do. Brother Wayne, if we got that one back there, Joshua 1:7, show us something. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Joshua 1:7. What was true for Joshua is true in yours and my life as well. When we follow God, God blesses us in our careers, in the workplace, in the classroom if you're a student. Let me keep moving. The psalmist doesn't stop at the workplace. He also says we get blessed at home. I want to be blessed at work, and I also want to be blessed at home. Who's with me? Who wants to be blessed at home? Amen? Amen. There are too many people who are successful at work by worldly standards who are a failure at home, who are a failure at home. And that's not how we want to live our lives. The psalmist says that when we walk in the fear of God and honor his word with our lives, it says our wives, we could think our spouse, if you're a wife, think your husband, will be like a fruitful vine and our children like olive shoots. That sounds strange to us. Why would I want my wife to be a fruitful vine? Now, we could think that there would be application of that with having children or whatever, but this is much bigger than that. This is much bigger than that. He's talking about fruitfulness in their lives altogether. But we could say, why would I want my spouse to be a fruitful vine? Well, I don't know if you've ever had to deal with vines, but I have. We've had to deal with vines in our yard. And vines in your yard are a menace. They will grow and grow and just kill all your grass. They will go up a tree and just kill your plants. They will kill your bushes. They just grow fast. There's no control over them. They're very hard to regulate in any way. And they accomplish nothing because, you know what, even though these vines grow in our yard and wherever else, there's no fruit. Now, there are vines that grow fruit. Some of you might know some fruit that grows on vines. Watermelon grows on vines. Honeydew melons and other melons grow on vines. Kiwi grows on vines. Tomatoes grow on vines. Grapes grow on vines. There are different plants that dragon fruit grows on vines and passion fruit and all of this. But those aren't the kind of vines I get. If I did, I would love it. If I walked out the back door of my house and in the backyard I looked around and there was watermelons all over here and honeydew melons and grapes all along the back fence and passion fruit over here, I would not walk out there and be like, what's the deal with all these vines? I would be like, this is amazing. This is incredible. Look at this. It's just fruit all over the place, and it's free. Fruit would be good, right? A vine with no fruit is worthless, but a vine with fruit is a great vine to have altogether, and I wouldn't be upset at all. Now, again, the imagery of fruitfulness here that is being used is talking about in every area of our lives. So I want you to catch this with me. If I, as a husband, am walking in the fear of God and following His word, if I'm doing that, that means that I am seeking to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, right? Because that's God's word. So all the husbands said amen. I gave you a chance for like great brownie points. Come on, man, you're right there with her. So if I will love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself, because I'm walking in the fear of God and I want to honor God's word in my life. So I'm loving my wife the way Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. I'm seeking to do that. The Bible says that when I do that, when I walk in that, that she is blessed and she becomes more fruitful in her life. But if my wife is doing that, and if my wife is walking in the fear of God and honoring God's word, so that means she's honoring me and she's loving me the way Christ wants to be loved by the church. Since she's walking with God, guess who gets blessed? Me. Are you with me? I get blessed. If she does it, I get blessed. If I do it, she gets blessed. When you walk in this, you bless one another at home in this, and then we become more fruitful. I will be a more fruitful husband. I will be a better husband because she's doing what God has called her to do. She'll be a better wife because I'm doing what God has called me to do in our lives. And we all want to walk in that. Amen? Come on, my brothers, I gave you a chance for a good amen as well. Make sure she knows that you're saying yes. So Proverbs 31, many of us know Proverbs 31. It tells us this. We've got it on a slide. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And again, this is true for men as well, of course. Honor her for all that her hands have done and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. We are blessed in our marriages when we walk in the fear of God. It works with kids also. It works with kids also. He says in the psalm that your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Now, that wouldn't make sense to us, for most of us probably. But they lived in an area where they grew olives. So they knew something about olives that I don't know, or I wouldn't have known, or we wouldn't necessarily know, as far as olives are concerned. See, here's the thing about corn. If you plant corn this year, when do you get corn? This year. If you plant corn this year, you get corn this year. That's how corn works. If you plant green beans this year, you get green beans this year. You get them on the same year you plant them. But if you plant an olive tree this year, you get olives in decades. Sometimes 40 years later, you get olives. You don't get, it's just other trees take a while as well, but olives are a real long one. If you plant an apple tree this year, you don't get apples this year. It's going to be years until you get apples. You plant them because you're looking ahead of what will come. If I walk in the fear of God and I am honoring God's word in my life, my children become like olive shoots. In other words, there is longevity in this, if you will. Here's what I love knowing. I love knowing that the blessings of God as a result of how I live will extend beyond even my own life. Longer than I live. Longer than I live. That means when my son's still alive, but I'm not anymore, the blessing is still there because my children will be like olive shoots around my table. It extends out to them in their life as well. Praise God. Praise God. And you see the blessedness of the godly man or the woman, it extends beyond their days. And we'll wrap up with this because they're blessed with a legacy. If you and I walk in the ways of God, not only will we be blessed, but future generations will be blessed as well. Our children will be blessed, as he says. Our nephews and nieces will be blessed. Our spiritual sons and daughters will be blessed. Our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will be blessed. Our children's children, the psalmist declares. Our children's children will be blessed. I want to know that in eternity, someone will come up to me and they will say, hey, I was your great-great-great-grandson, and I heard the stories of what God did in your life. Come on, are you with me? I know I never met you, but the family never forgot it. We heard the stories of how Jesus saved you and came into your life and the difference that he made. And our family is still walking with God today because of what happened back then. Amen? It continues in the generations to come as well. He says, your children's children. I have three grandchildren already. I mentioned that yesterday we celebrated the second birthday of Rochelle, our youngest, but my oldest son who is here with his family, of course, he has Josiah and Bella. And in fact, Josiah, come on up here real fast. Come all the way up here. I'm going to put him on the spot and bring him all the way up here. Come on fast. Come on up here. Let me show you off. Come on, buddy. Come all the way up here. He is my buddy. Everybody give Josiah a round of applause. Yeah. So Josiah is my children's children, my children's children. You want to say something? No? What if I give you the mic and you can just say hello? You got to say it right in the microphone. You want to say hi?
Hello.
Yeah, say hi back to him. Yeah. So now yesterday when we were in the car and we were driving to Pennsylvania and I asked you who Jesus was, you told me. Do you remember what you said? You got to say it in the microphone.
I say God.
Yeah, Jesus is God. Amen? He got that right? Jesus is God the Son. Right, so he's giving me the microphone back. He's done. Come on, give me a high five. You did great, buddy. Get out of here. Yep, get out of here. You did good. They're with us all week. We're going to have them at the house. My children's, the psalmist says, if I will walk in the fear of God, if I will honor God's word in my life, then I get blessed at work. I get blessed at home. My wife gets blessed because I walk in this. My children are like olive shoots. Decades later, there's still fruitfulness in their lives. And my children's children, it extends beyond us. We leave a legacy with our lives when we honor God with our lives. It's not just about me right now. It's about every aspect in every way. Amen? I want to be blessed by God. Who's with me? You want to be blessed by God? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Let's pull this together right here. Worship team, you could join me at this time because I'm going to read this psalm again. And I want to read it as a psalm of blessing over us, this psalm of ascents, Psalm 128. And I want you to catch these truths here. But as we leave today, let's leave as well committed to we're going to walk in the fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean being afraid of God. That's a reverence of a holy God. We're going to walk in a reverence for a holy God, and then we're going to seek to follow God's word in our lives. God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And when we walk in that, remember the water gun illustration, no matter what, it's a promise to all who do that, everyone gets the blessing. Everyone. Have you seen the new AT&T commercial? Yes. She said yes right over there. Everyone gets the deal. Everyone gets this. Not, I don't get anything to promote AT&T, but I've just seen the camera. Everyone gets this. It's for everyone when we walk in this. And I want to read this psalm again as a declaration over your life. You guys can begin to play something if you'd like. But let me just read it again and receive this before I pray. It says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Come on, there's going to be results of our work there. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife, your spouse, will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots. This is long-standing around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the one who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And Lord, we believe for the prosperity of the D.C. metro area, because that's where we call home now. And you tell us to pray for the city of our exile, so we believe for that as well. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Psalm 128. Let me pray over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we declare this as our psalm of ascents this day, Lord God, as we come up into your presence, Lord, and we commit ourselves this day. We commit ourselves to saying yes to you, yes to your will, yes to your word, yes to your ways. We will honor you. We will seek to follow you, and we will walk in a humble reverence and obedience to you, Lord God. When we fall short, we will rest in your grace, but we won't stay down. We will get back up, and we will continue to follow you with our lives that we might walk forward in this place of blessing, in this place of blessing. We thank you for it, and we receive it upon our lives in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, we were in the car yesterday for several hours, and Josiah asked me a question. He was just up here. Josiah asked me this question. He said, what happens if you don't listen to Jesus? He asked me this question. That's a good question. And I said, you know what happens? He keeps loving you, and he never gives up on you. And he will love you back until you start following him again, is what he will do. He will never let go of you. He is never going to give up on you, Josiah. If you don't, he's still going to stay after you. That's not just true over Josiah or me. That's true over every one of us. So no matter how you're doing in your walk with God today, if you think, I don't know, I've really walked in this, you know what? Jesus never gave up on you. He's still pursuing you. From where you're at right now, you commit yourself to following him and walking in him, and you walk in this place of blessing. Amen? Come on, somebody give God thanks and praise for his word. Worship team, why don't you lead us in a chorus as they lead us in this? Once you're ready, you can begin to dismiss yourselves, but I'd encourage you to tarry just a brief moment if you're able as an act of commitment and pray unto him, and then you leave when you're ready. Amen? Amen.